I just said that.
I know you just said that.
Okay, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
Well, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
That's what I just said.
That's what I'm saying to you.
All right.
Touché. What a weekend, huh? Nevada and South Carolina. Trump is now officially the front runner. And what happened to the movement? Bernie feels the burn, and it ain't a good feeling, right? Touché is our weekly segment.
It's a different kind of movement.
Please.
This is our weekly segment here on The Download with where Democrat political analyst Dave Lundy and Republican political analyst Chris Roebling discuss, debate, decry, and denounce the facts, the figures, and the philosophical approaches of both parties. Why? Because it's Touché.
Touché.
Dave and Chris, good to see you guys.
Great to see you, Justin.
Great to be back. I think the Hawks preempted us. That's right.
And we will be together again next week for Super Tuesday as well, as we will give you live coverage here.
Four hours.
So that's going to be great. So let's talk about this. So, okay, for you, Chris.
Yes.
Let's talk about Donald Trump.
Okay. Yes, Chris. Let's talk about Donald Trump.
Was it a surprise what happened this weekend for Donald Trump?
I don't think it was a surprise about Donald Trump. I frankly thought the surprise was that Rubio didn't do a little bit better, given all of the local support that he got. You got to hand it to Trump, and you got to hand it to, yes, His Holiness, the Roman Pontiff.
Really?
Pope Francis, who attacked Trump just while the evangelicals down there, who really do not like the Pope and really do not like Catholicism or the Catholic Church or Rome, the horror of Rome, et cetera, et cetera. Those guys, to hear the Pope criticizing Trump at that moment was the single best thing that could happen to that guy.
For that moment.
For that validation. And
I think that that's kind of the key point, because, sure, in South Carolina, attacking the Pope works groovy.
Well, no, wait. I don't claim that Trump attacked the Pope.
He called him disgraceful.
Well, I thought that No, he did not.
He
called the action disgraceful. Let's be careful here, because this is the Pope we're talking about.
Yes, exactly. And Chris is already warming up for the general election with that kind of nuance.
I'm a conservative, so I got to watch out here. Okay?
Well, you know what?
Disgraceful.
What it means.
He did say
that. I mean, seeing the domination on Saturday, it was domination.
It was domination.
I said at the top of the show, I mean, it really is. It's time for the pundits to step aside. The front runner for the Republican nomination, except for you guys, is Donald Trump. And he's running away with it.
It's his to lose. I wouldn't want to be Cruz, nor would I want to be Rubio.
Very rhyming.
I wouldn't want to be Cruz or Rubio right now. I think it is his to lose. And so he's got to, he has to really, really. He has to really.
It's the red button, Chris.
Cruz has got to. I'm telling you, I don't want to be Cruz or Rubio right now. And you sure as heck don't want to be Kasich or Ben Carson.
Okay, so let's talk Jeb Bush. So Jeb Bush, he bows out. Suspended, I guess. They all suspend their campaigns, but this could be more. But let's talk about it, because who gets Jeb Bush's vote? I mean, who gets it? Is it Kasich? Who gets a Jeb? And is it worth anything at this point?
Well, first of all, I got to go back just for a second to the Trumpmeister. So here's the thing. A lot of pundits this year are completely befuddled by Donald Trump. They thought, because the rules don't apply to him, that skipping that debate in Iowa was going to be a good thing. I said it was a bad thing. And of course, the Iowa voters did not like to be trifled with. And Chris also said it was a bad thing.
Yes.
So just giving you credit, my friend.
Thank you.
They're very confused. So they're talking about this papal interaction as a win for Trump. And I'm sitting there going, like, wait a second. That's one state. We have 49 others, many of which have huge, huge Catholic populations, including this one, by the way.
Yeah.
And a lot of the Catholics in those states are swing voters. Mm-hmm. I had lunch with a Catholic friend of mine today, and she was just saying, yeah, I don't know what those guys are talking about, because I talked to some friends in church on Sunday, and they were mad as heck over
what
they
said. Well, that seems to be what he does. I mean, Donald Trump is a pretty good campaigner at this point, because each week he focuses in on the state that's in front of him, and he plays right to it.
I got
to
tell you something. This is one for the books. Whatever the heck happens between here and whenever, this has already been the most unusual campaign. This is a historic campaign, and I'm gonna reference something that'll date me, but Lawrence Rockefeller, who was a brother of Nelson Rockefeller, who was the vice president of the United States for a while. Lawrence Rockefeller went off to be governor of Arkansas. And when he ran for governor of Arkansas, he actually had the money to buy IBM computers. And he had people take the voter lists and put them into the computers and then sort out who he could talk to and who he should talk to and who he should avoid. First time that ever happened, I think it was about 60 or 62, something like that. This campaign is as historically significant.
Mm, on a data front, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. He is out of control. And it's almost like everything he touches turns to some big, successful building or something. I mean, I don't know how he does it. He's defying gravity. He said he got into a contretemps with the Pope, and he still wins.
Well, let's talk about today. I mean, in Chicago, you know, what I'm fascinated about is the super PACs, because he said he went after the Ricketts family because the Ricketts family was supposedly pouring money into an anti-Trump super PAC to you know, make him look better or to, you know, put him down in the election. But, you know, it's interesting because the super PACs have kind of held off on trying to take down Donald Trump. What do they do now? Because if they actually spend the money on it, there's nobody else to actually come and take Trump's place.
Yeah, it's absolutely fascinating. There was a study done that came out today, and it said that the super PACs have spent this year about $240 million on advertising in the Republican race. And of that 240, only 9 million, 4% was spent attacking Donald Trump. I heard Donald Trump on the Morning Joe saying that, oh, they spent $75 million. No, they haven't. They haven't touched you. And Donald
Why
Trump.
Why is that? You would think that that's where they would want to put
I think they're
right.
dumb. I think these people are dumb. We have dumb people in the Republican Party.
Wait, that's what Donald Trump says.
Well, I happen to agree. But we have dumb people in the Republican Party, and the dumbest of those dumb people end up going to Washington, and they become massively wealthy inside the Beltway Republican consultants. And if you I'm not kidding when I say this, just pick up on the articles over the weekend about the so-called playbook of Jeb Bush, who you're talking about a moment ago. This sort of 90-page campaign plan or something was an exercise in self-delusion, right? And it went on and on and on and on. And that's bad enough. I mean, it was written 11 months ago. So you could say, okay, well, they got it wrong then, but then they revised it. But they didn't revise it, number one. Number two, every time something happened where they were kind of like falling off the cliff and saying, no, you know, they go by a big boulder and they say, everything's fine so far. They never changed. And these are the Bush campaign had the highest of the high, the most expensive of the expensive, right. The most, in my opinion, dim-witted of the lot. This guy, Michael Murphy, since he wrote that Wildfire song in 1972, I haven't heard one hit.
Chris Roebling, Dave Lundy. Let's take a break. Let's take a break so we can talk about the other side of the aisle, too. Hillary Clinton pulls out the squeaker again. And the movement doesn't seem to be much of a movement for Bernie Sanders. We'll talk more. It's Touche here in the download. Stay with us.
Touche. I just said that.
I know you just said that.
Okay, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
Well, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
That's what I just said.
That's what I'm saying to you.
All right.
Touche.
You go right, you go right, you go left.
It's Touche here on the download. Touche. Chris Roebling and Dave Lundy as we kind of go back and forth on the politics of the day. We got to preview what's coming up here because this week will not disappoint. We got two more. The other side for both Nevada and South Carolina. And then also
Nevada.
Nevada. What did I say? Nevada?
Yes.
I like Nevada.
Because we're Midwesterners. Yeah, we say Nevada.
But you're supposed to say Nevada.
Yeah. Yeah. We learned that in the last 72 hours.
Yeah, right.
No, I learned that. Well, I won't go into any details.
Because
what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
Right. Let's talk about, before we move to Bernie and Hillary, the one thing that's interesting is this was supposed to be Ted Cruz's state. South Carolina was supposed to be Ted Cruz. You talked a little bit about Marco Rubio had all of the establishment's support. All the people came out and endorsed him leading up to it. Donald Trump, is he running in the same concept as, say, the governor of Illinois, Bruce Rauner, ran on, where I'm an outsider, I'm a billionaire, I'm coming in, business runs government,
absolutely.
And people are going for it?
He is running. He's saying, I built a magnificent business, I am a businessman, and that's what we need. And by the way, we've heard this for years and years and years that if only you had a businessman coming into Ross Perot, exactly. You only had a businessman coming in to run government, everything would run so smoothly, as we can all see from Illinois, year two with no budget. Businessmen don't necessarily make good politicians because it's a different skill set. And we're seeing that here in Illinois. Chris and I will have extreme disagreements as to why that's happening. What we can't disagree about is that nothing has happened here that way. But yeah, no, that's exactly what Trump's running on.
There are any number of Democrat business people who have decided to get into this stuff and run. And they come up with the same. If you're, you know what, if you're a Navy admiral and you want to run for Congress, you say Congress needs a Navy admiral. If you're a school teacher and you want to run for the Senate, you say the Senate needs a school teacher. OK, so billionaires, they want to run. They say, hey, you need a billionaire. OK, but the big difference with Trump, I think, is that and the reason that it's facile and I think misleading to cite somebody like Rauner, or for that matter, Christie, is because the Republicans do control the Senate and the House. They're going to control the House. They'll probably control the Senate unless there's
not if Donald Trump's the nominee.
Well, I think they probably will, even with Donald Trump as the nominee. In fact, there's a growing body of evidence to indicate that with Donald Trump as the nominee, we'll pick up seats in the House and in the
sink. I think there might be a backlash of Democrats.
Let me tell you that the Trump thing is a phenomenon. I said that before, so I don't.
$9 million. That's
Dave,
all they have spent.
Let me ask you about Democrat voters. If a general election is Hillary Clinton versus Donald Trump, does it energize the Democrat base to make sure Donald Trump doesn't win?
Well, it absolutely energizes the Democratic base. Let's not forget all these things that Republican voters don't seem to care a lot about. Democratic voters and independent voters care a great deal about, including the misogyny, the racism, the anti-Muslim stuff. I mean, Donald Trump says crazy stuff every single day, and he gets away with it because he's running, with all due respect, Chris, for the nomination of a party that in the states they've gone to so far is dominated by extreme people. And we've seen polling about what these people believe, including like 17% of Republicans in South Carolina who told a pollster that they think whites are the superior race. Okay, so and that's what just the
that was
the
a
told,
Democrat pollster. That was that's a bad just what question. They told. I don't believe that for a second. This is just the canard. You know, I mean, look,
canard. Ding, ding, ding. Your word for the day.
Touche.
Anyway, the Democrats have one candidate who is a socialist, and he is now sort of faltering, not to say failing, but the calendar doesn't look good for Bernie Sanders. Okay. And then you have this other candidate who is truly, I know David, I don't want to jump out the window and break any glass or plexiglass, but pre-indicted, right?
Pre-indicted.
She's under,
you
I mean, seriously.
I mean, it's funny. It's like I've had so many people respond going, how can you, why are we talking about this? Why are we talking? I mean, you guys get caught up on the fact that you don't even think she's going to be around because she's going to be indicted for
I think
lying in emails.
I believe that the FBI is going to refer her for criminal prosecution, and I think that Valerie Jarrett's Department of Justice will say, no, we're going to let her go.
Valerie Jarrett, the Attorney General of the United States.
Right. Valerie Jarrett, the shadow president of the United States, will Lynch, you know, don't do a thing, and then there will be an uproar probably bigger than what we saw on the Saturday Night Massacre.
Dave. All right, let's talk Hillary and Bernie, because the idea was that Bernie was going to energize younger voters. There's going to be mass turnout. We have not seen that.
Yeah, not so much. No, Bernie is his theory is that you're going to turn out so many young people that he's going to overwhelm the problems of the fact that he's a socialist. and here's the thing. That doesn't work. It's never worked. I think it worked kind of for Barack Obama, but frankly, he had so many other groups that were energized by his candidacy. So look, you will continue to have a competition, but things are going to look much, much, much uglier for Bernie Sanders after Super Tuesday, because he's about to go into South Carolina where he's going to lose by 20 points plus. Then they go to Super Tuesday. There's only two or three states where he thinks he even has a chance. He's only competing in five states out of, I think, the 13 that are up. So he's seeding the other eight. And of those, I saw a poll before I came in tonight, Massachusetts, where he's the neighboring state, and he just trounced in New Hampshire. So they've spent tens of millions of dollars on media in this market. Mm-hmm. And right now that's tied 46-46. Yeah. So I think that the burn is being put out a little bit by a little Clinton water.
But, you know, Hillary Clinton remains, in my opinion, shopworn, tired, linked to the past, and frankly rooted in the past. Hillary Clinton cannot name, and this isn't me, please go look on YouTube, there are any number of examples of this, when she's been asked what are your top two or three accomplishments as Secretary of State, she has nothing to say.
That's not true.
I understand what David is saying about folks are going to focus on Trump. Folks will be focusing on Hillary.
Hillary is not exactly turned out on both sides, except that Hillary, people know what they're getting with Hillary Clinton. Every negative that could possibly imagine has been thrown at Hillary for literally decades.
She's earned
hundreds
them.
Of millions
she's
of dollars have been
she's
spent
earned them.
To tar and feather Hillary Clinton. People know that. Trump, as we talked about earlier, they've only spent $9 million in negative ads. Most of the American people aren't paying attention. So anybody, again, what have I said previously? Anybody who's paying attention to these early head-to-heads and is saying something about them as if they're meaningful is Mike Murphy doesn't know what the hell they're doing. So I think that you got a long campaign to go, and you have to look at the elements that each campaign is going to build on. We know what the elements the Republicans are going to build on against Hillary. There's so much for building on against Trump. Yes,
I know,
Chris.
I know time is short, so I just want to say this. It is time for Carson and for Kasich to get out, and it is time for there to be an open primary between Cruz and Rubio. And whoever wins that primary, that's the person who's got to face Trump. And then the party can confront whether or not it's going to be a Trump party or something else. And that Trump party situation, I personally think with Rubio, you get an establishmentarian, although he does have Tea Party roots. With Cruz, you get an ideologue, although he is a guy who's gotten unbelievable things done in the legal realm. And so these are two very highly qualified candidates. One of them has got to emerge as the non-Trump. And the sooner the Republicans get there, the better.
Ain't going to happen. John Kasich's going to stay in until he gets to Ohio. Ted Cruz, if he ekes out a win in Texas, that man is there for the duration. He's got gobs of money. So I don't understand. I mean, Carson should get out, but Carson, those go to Cruz. Most of the Carson votes goes to Cruz. Most of the Kasich vote will go to, well,
we,
to
we
Rubio.
22% of the vote was going to Ben Carson and to John Kasich and to Jeb Bush.
Right.
And the 22% plus the results that were obtained by Cruz and Rubio would put them over Trump. So there is a lot of there's fluidity out there. I understand what David is saying. I hope things move along. We'll see.
Well, we're going to know. You know, we got two big contests this week, and then next week is Big Super Tuesday. Monday nights are Touche night here on the Download. Chris Roebling and Dave Lundy. We will see you guys next week, Monday and Tuesday, right? Are we going to do
Tuesday?
We're just doing Tuesday. So we'll see you on Super Tuesday, and we'll talk. I mean, we'll have great results. We'll do election show like we did for the Iowa caucuses. We'll have a great time. Chris, Dave, great to see you.
Great to see you.
Thanks.